Pop Spotting 178.
Thursday, December 15th, 2011. Welcome to Pop Spotting. I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
It's Thursday, which means it's time for Pop Talk and Trivia.
That's right. It's often my favorite day of the week because we let you do the talking.
Joining us today is Joel, who co-hosts the Forgotten Flicks podcast along with Jason. The Forgotten Flicks podcast is one of my favorites.
That's right. You picked it as one of your favorite podcasts and our favorite podcast show. Now, Joel spent most of his youth as an aspiring movie maker. He idolized folks like Raimi and Carpenter and Dante and Spielberg and Craven. He loves talking movies with other movie fans and supporting indie filmmakers, and when the time is right, he says he will once again subject the world to one of his movie-making endeavors.
He lives in Central Florida with his amazing and amazingly patient wife, who is also his high school sweetheart, and their three beautiful young sons. Joel, welcome to the show.
Thank you guys so much. It is fantastic to be here. I just can't begin to tell you how excited. I do want to mention on the front end, and as I've told you before, that you guys were one of the big reasons why I wanted to get into podcasting, or one of the first podcasts I ever listened to was The Transmission, and this is just really an honor, and I'm trying to keep my nerves in check. So.
Oh, no, we are honored to have you on, and Jen listens to the Forgotten Flicks podcast. She honored you as a pick, and you know,
I remember that, yes.
And I love that I say that we are an old school podcaster, and we set the bar low enough so that everybody feels inspired to leap over it. So we're glad you were so inspired. So you're from Central Florida. That's where Jen's from.
Yeah.
Yes.
I grew up in Ocala, went to Lake Weir High School.
How about you, Joel? Yeah. Is that your neighborhood?
Yeah, well, it's close. I'm actually currently in Lakeland, and I went to Winter Haven High School. So, and actually, our football team played Ocala. I think we actually played, is there an Ocala High School? Like,
There is now. It's either Ocala or Bellevue High School, but it was built long after I graduated, so I'm not even sure like what schools are there anymore.
Okay. I know we played a football game there because I remember there was an actual rodeo by day, football field by night, and
yeah.
I'm not joking.
No,
and there were divots
true.
In it. It was horrific. Like you pretty much you were just trying not to snap your ankles as you were, you know, falling into this, you know, 2-foot crevasse as you were trying to run across the football field. So good times.
Well, Joel, both you and Jen are proof that good things can still come out of Central Florida. And again, we're glad to have you on here on Pop Talk and Trivia Thursday. We ask great folks like you to enlighten us on stuff that we need to know more about. You get three recommendations. So how about you hit us with your first?
Okay, well, my first recommend is going to be a book. I'm a big reader. I know you guys are as well. I read lots of fiction, but I like nonfiction as well. And one of the subjects, shockingly enough, that I happen to like reading about a lot is movie, you know, history, film history, behind the scenes, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And one book in particular that I've read recently, I thought that if you have any horror fans in the audience, and even if you don't, even if you just have people who are fans of, you know, 70s and going into the 80s cinema, it was called Shock Value. The subtitle is How a Few Eccentric Outsiders Gave Us Nightmares, Conquered Hollywood, and Invented Modern Horror. It was written by Jason Zinnemann. He is actually a theater critic for the New York Times, but I believe he writes quite a bit on film for them as well. It's very entertaining, very well written, and you honestly do not have to be a horror movie lover to enjoy it. If you're familiar with Peter Biskind's book, Easy Riders, Raging Bulls, that came out some years ago, which was all about that 70s era group of more mainstream filmmakers, the Scorsese and Spielberg and Coppola and Lucas and that whole group.
Yeah,
I've
been looking forward to reading Easy Riders and Raging Bulls, and I think this sounds like another thing that I have to stick on my to read list.
Yeah, and it is the opposite side of the coin because it's the same era. It's the same type of, I mean, there's a little level of dirt. I mean, it doesn't get too in depth into their personal lives, but it's more behind the scenes, like the making of like Texas Chainsaw Massacre and how it was just completely insane. They had the mob partially financing it, and the governor of Texas at the time was, you know, I think wanting to hook up with the lead actress. I mean, all sorts of craziness. but it goes into like John Carpenter and, you know, in his, USC career when he was a film student and sort of his ambitions, and a guy named Dan O'Bannon that he had worked with that wrote, whose biggest claim to fame is that he wrote Alien. But he never, he was sort of this creative, artistic genius that never could break free of the shadow of like John Carpenter. It's just got a lot of great stories in it. Very, very entertaining. I really can't recommend it enough. And it also goes into like the social and cultural impact a lot of these films and filmmakers had, and how we shifted from that old school horror, the, you know, the gothic castles and, you know, the William Castle, the Tingler and the House on Haunted Hill kind of stuff, into the modern era. It was more gritty and realistic. And he sort of uses it as his pivot point, Rosemary's Baby. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's very interesting. So that was my first pick.
Well, you know, Joel, you mentioned, we said in your intro, your bio, you talk about how you idolize folks like Carpenter and Raimi and Craven. And so I can see how this book might be of interest. Of course, now we're in a very different world of horror, modern horror films. You hear the phrase torture porn. There's a lot of pornography that I'm not – there's a whole lot of horror films that I'm not into anymore. So yeah. What would you say you can pick up from this book in terms of what we've lost in horror films?
It's actually really interesting, because since a lot of these filmmakers at the time were, you know, like they go into Romero and Night of the Living Dead, and how there was this social message kind of underneath the surface. And it was meant to be shocking and horrifying, but these guys seem to really get that at the end of the day, what's scary about great horror movies, even the old stuff, is that it's the element of the unknown, that you don't know what's lurking in the shadows. And you go watch an old Val Lewton film, for instance, you don't see anything. It's all shadow. It's all suggestion. And it can be terrifying. It really can get inside your head. I am not a fan, just straight out, of most modern horror movies. Occasionally one will come along and it'll be a breath of fresh air. I can't stomach the torture porn thing. I just can't sit through it. So I guess I'm an old, you know, fuddy-duddy wuss, because I just don't.
We are too.
But,
we are too.
Yeah, but I believe that great horror movies, it's more of a creep factor. Like, it's just, it creeps, it's kind of creepy, it creeps you out. We're actually going to be doing on the show here soon the 1974 film Black Christmas, which starred Olivia Hussey and Kier Dulay, I believe is how you pronounce his name, from 2001 A Space Odyssey, and John Saxon. The guy who directed it, Bob Clark, did A Christmas Story and did Porky's, so he was more known for his comedies and lighthearted.
I had no idea. Yeah, and it was the same guy behind A Christmas Story. That's interesting.
Yeah. Did you ever see Black Christmas, the original?
No, I haven't. I have not.
It's fantastic. Margot Kidder's in it. Andrea Martin is in it. There's almost no blood at all in this movie, but it will creep you out. It is honestly one of the scariest movies I've ever seen, and there's virtually no blood in it. Wow. It is very creepy. I just look it up, 1974, forget the remake. Almost always forget the remake.
Wow! So we got a movie recommendation and a book recommendation just to start things off.
And what is your second recommendation?
Okay, well, my second recommendation is going to be The Booth at the End. Are you familiar with this?
No, does not ring a bell.
Okay, I was actually a little concerned. I made sure to go through all your archives and like, okay, did anybody ever? Okay, it is a web series, an original web series that originated in Canada. And I discovered it through a friend of Jason, my co-host, and our friend at work, a guy named Jared. He told us, I just saw this show on Hulu. You've got to check it out. And it stars Xander Berkeley, who might be best known to folks from 24. And I think he's on Nikita. He was in Terminator 2. He's one of those guys, you see his face, you're like, oh, yeah, I recognize him. And here's the premise. A nameless man, played by Xander Berkeley, sits day and night in a booth at a small roadside diner. Strangers who've learned that he has a special gift approach him and ask if he can help them get something that they want, like, you know, they want to cure a dying loved one, or, you know, somebody wants to be prettier, that kind of thing. After he checks in this mysterious book that we never see what's inside of, he turns to them and gives them a task that he, you know, supposedly got from the book. And if they complete the task, they get what they want. If they don't, they get nothing. The choice is theirs alone, and they can stop at any time. And this is what's cool about the show. It's 23 minutes long on average. It never leaves, not only the diner, it almost never leaves the booth. And you have this series of characters that come in and have to describe to him as they're either doing the task or not doing the task and what is happening. And he makes little notes. And it sounds like it would be boring, but it is so well written and it is so intense. And you really are on the edge of your seat. Now, there have only been 5 episodes. That was season 1. And they have yet to come out with season 2. The creator is a guy named Christopher Kubasik, I believe is how you pronounce his name. And I think prior to this, he had written several books for the Star Wars universe, including, he was, according to one source, he was given credit as having created an entire history for Cloud City for some of these books. So this show, honestly, had a Lost vibe to it as well, because all of these characters, and I won't give anything away because I deserve to be, you know, taken out and whipped if I ever were to give any of this away. But along the way, there's connections, and it's very Lostian the way these characters kind of intertwine, and it's all about this kind of question of morality and how far would you go to get what you want, because he gives some people very simple tasks and some people very morally questionable tasks, and it's a very interesting show. So if you haven't seen it, highly suggest checking it out. It's very cool. Almost all of the actors in it, other than Xander Berkeley, I've never seen them. Sarah Clark was on 24. She played Nina, if you watched the first season of 24. And there's another guy named Jack Conley who I recognized. I think he was in L.A. Confidential and some other movies.
So among all of these stories, is there like an ongoing theme or an ongoing story that runs through the episodes?
Really, the man that you never know his name is, I feel, is the protagonist, because we don't know what his motives are and why he's doing what he's doing, but you get hints. And Xander Berkeley, who plays the part, does it. He conveys so much in just a look. And just when you think you haven't figured out, oh, this guy must be, you know, evil, or this guy must be good, or, you know, whatever you think, he'll do something or say something, or he'll question somebody in such a way that, you know, you really get a sense that you have no idea what his deal is. So I guess you could say his story is, but no, if you mean more like this kind of connective tissue between the little, they're almost like little vignettes. These people come in, they sit at the booth, and they're like, you see their name and a little title placard, and they go and explain to him what they've done thus far, what they haven't done. And again, me describing it does it no justice. Just watch the first episode or two. And my guess is, if you're into the sort of, you know, philosophical moral quandary, you know, and if nothing else, just like passing judgment on people with a "well, I wouldn't do that" kind of attitude, it's a great show. Everybody I've talked to that I've gotten to see it loves it afterwards. So, and I would love to hear what you guys think of it, honestly.
I think we're going to check it out. I love independent web series. I like, it sounds like a really simple construct and really focuses on the stories. And that's exactly the kind of things that we want to check out.
Really character driven.
And what is your third recommendation?
Well, actually, it was a movie, and realizing that I champion Black Christmas, and I probably could just end that, but I'll do this one quickly. My last pick is a movie from 1993. It's called The Making of And God Spoke, and it is a mockumentary. Have you ever familiar with this movie?
Not of the movie, but once you said mockumentary, I was interested.
Okay. I am a big fan of Christopher Guest. I would say the later mockumentaries he's done, if not like For Your Consideration that came out not that long ago, and even A Mighty Wind I wasn't a huge fan of, but Best in Show, Waiting for Guffman, obviously this Spinal Tap, which I know Reiner directed, but it's I love those kind of pictures. This is very much in line with those. It was directed by a guy named Arthur Borman. This on IMDb is his sole feature credit. He's done a ton of reality TV, but this was the only feature he has done, but it is fantastic. It came out a couple years for Waiting for Guffman, and the basic premise is this pair of low-budget Schlockmeister filmmakers. They're played by a guy named Michael Riley. He sort of plays the insecure director. You get this kind of like he thinks he might want to be Spielberg kind of vibe. And Stephen Rappaport, who I read somewhere was the cousin of the actor Michael Rappaport, he's a much bigger actor. He plays the used car salesman-like producer. And they decide they're going to launch their careers into the stratosphere. Okay, up to this point, they've made some very sleazy exploitation films. But they're going to make a Bible picture based on, wait for it, the whole Bible. They're not going to do a story they're going to do the whole thing for $11 million, which is their biggest budget ever. And so they set about trying to make their epic masterpiece, which is called And God Spoke. And so as they progress through it, they even before they're out of pre-production, the problems begin to mount and the budget just keeps dwindling and dwindling and dwindling. And they sort of prove that age-old low-budget movie making axiom, which is whatever can go wrong will go wrong. They prove it. It is a fantastic satire about low-budget filmmaking and just does an excellent job of depicting all the phases of production. You actually, you know, even if you've never worked on a movie production before, they really do a great job with how showing all the different elements of what goes into it. And it really emphasizes the absurdities of that world. But what makes it work so well is what makes the best Christopher Guest mockumentaries work so well, which is it rides that line between absurdity and realism without, you know, teetering too far one way or the other. And it rides it perfectly. And the characters aren't just caricatures. And then a real quick rundown of just a few key cast members. Eve Plum, also known as Jan Brady, plays Mrs. Noah. Soupy Sales plays Moses. yeah, that part is awesome. Michael Hitchcock who was also in several Christopher Guest films. He was in Waiting for Guffman and Best in Show and others. He plays this assistant director who's kind of becomes power hungry. And my favorites, Lou Ferrigno and Andy Dick as Cain and Abel.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, it's great. It is fantastic.
I love the sound of this. I mean, you know, you had Spinal Tap and the idea of a traveling band, but especially I can see how it resonates with you. It's a mockumentary. It's an exploration of the art of filmmaking yes. at the same time, you know, clearly mocking the art of filmmaking. It's a great
pick. Oh, yeah. Yes, it was. It's a great movie. I highly recommend.
Well, I can tell you like this film because I Googled it just now to find more information about it. And one of the top results is a write-up by one Joel G. Robinson at ForgottenFlicks.com. So,
Are you serious?
Yeah. How can somebody catch this? Is it on streaming?
That was not intentional, I swear.
And you can get it online?
Yes. Yes, it is on Netflix streaming currently. And if you don't have Netflix, I'm sure you can find it on Amazon. I know there's quite a few, for the longest time, the only copy I ever could find was VHS. So, but it's highly recommend, highly worth it. Definitely check it out.
Well, I love all the picks that you've shared here. And certainly, again, from somebody who loves movies, I was sure I was going to enjoy them. Jen, what were Joel's picks?
Joel's recommendations are the books Shock Value by Jason Zinnemann, The Booth at the End web series, and the 1993 film Making of and God Spoke.
Fantastic picks, Joel. I love them. Thanks for sharing those. But now we get our chance to school you a little bit with Jen's famous trivia. Are you ready to play?
Oh, I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
All right, Jen. Well, here you get to pick the categories you want. We'll give you three, and you only need to tackle two of them. What are those categories?
His categories are What's My Name?
Or actually, rather, What's My Name? This is a movie category.
Okay. What came first, a TV Christmas special edition, or Bally Who, a Rodgers and Hammerstein category?
Ooh, that I'm not even going to touch with a 6-foot pole. so it's going to have to be the first two. I'll go with the What's My, what did you say, What's My Name?
Yep, What's My Name.
Okay.
And what came first? Let's start with What's My Name.
We may be biased, but Ryan and Jennifer are pretty good names. So today, let's talk about a few famous Ryans. We'll give you the characters they played, and you give us the actor's name. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Number one, Hopeless Romantic Lars, Hopeless Romantic Noah, and Reckless Romantic Driver.
Ryan Gosling.
Yes.
Very good. All right, number two.
Number two, supervillain Wade Wilson, superhero Hal Jordan, and supernatural detective Hannibal King.
Is a movie?
Yep.
Is it a recent movie?
At least one
of them
are.
Is this year.
Is it a Ryan Reynolds?
Yes.
Very good. Okay. You got it.
I avoided the Green Lantern. That was the only.
Understood. Hey, you're Forgotten Flicks, not, you know.
Oh, yes.
Not
yes.
Should be Forgotten Flicks. Or,
and I almost
or
forgot.
Flicks,
so.
Right. Well, you got the category, but let's see if you can clear it out. Number three.
Okay.
Number three, police officer Tom Hansen, soldier John Bradley, and evil rich kid Sebastian Valmont.
Ryan Felipe.
Yes.
Excellent. Very good, Joel. You have cleared out the What's My Name category.
Man.
So let's move on to your second category, which came first, the TV Christmas special edition.
Okay. 'Tis the season for classic holiday specials on television. We'll give you a pair of shows and you tell us which aired first.
Okay.
Number one, Frosty the Snowman or A Charlie Brown Christmas?
Frosty.
No.
Oh.
It was Charlie Brown Christmas. It was
because that was the early 60s, wasn't it?
They were both in the 60s, but yes, Charlie Brown came about 4 years earlier, 1965 versus 1969. And
yeah.
It was the first primetime animated Peanut special, first on CBS, now on ABC, and our kids love it. That's okay.
Oh, yeah.
You can still get the category.
Okay.
Number
okay.
two, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer or How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Rudolph.
Yes.
Very good. Yes,
which my
course.
Kids are watching right now as we speak.
I love it. I love it. Rudolph was based on the song, and it also changed networks from NBC to CBS, and it has been telecast every year since 1964.
And number three, Olive the Other Reindeer or Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer?
Oh, I don't even know what that
wow.
first one is.
See, these okay. are contemporary, and actually our kids love Olive the Other Reindeer.
I'm familiar with the Grandma Got Ran Over, obviously, for the song, but I know they did it as an animated
right.
bit. But wow, all the other reindeer. I'm going to have to go with Grandma Got Ran Over.
No.
No, it was Olive the Other Reindeer. That's all right.
Olive.
Olive. Yes.
I was thinking like All in the Family. Olive. All of the Other Reindeer.
Well, that play on words is actually a key point in the plot of All of the Other Reindeer. It was voiced by Drew Barrymore. Joey Pants was in there. Dan Castellaneta, of course. So congratulations, Joel. You did great. I know that we are going to have your co-host on in a couple of weeks. Jason, as you can see, we had to separate you so that you would be easier to vanquish, but you still did very, very well. Congratulations. But
Thank you guys so much.
We let you go, can you remind everybody where they can get more Joel? And I guess more Jason.
Yes, absolutely. You can check us out at ForgottenFlicks.com. That's the home of our podcast, as well as a site that we have there with movie reviews and whatnot. We also are on iTunes. You can download us there. And we're on Twitter. I'm Forgotten Flicks. Jason is Flicks Sidekick. And we also have a Forgotten Flicks Facebook page. And we just started up a Forgotten Flicks group page. So
fantastic.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Joel, for coming on Pop Spotting and for making a go at our trivia.
Oh, guys, seriously, thank you. This has been an unbelievable honor. And I you know, at the risk of, you know, sounding like Rudolph the Brown-Nosed Reindeer, I seriously, you guys are, you're an inspiration.
Oh,
you guys really are one of the big reasons why we started I'm blaming you for why we started the Forgotten Flicks podcast. And I can't tell you both how much this means. This has just been an absolute honor for me.
No, that means a lot to hear as well. You keep up doing the great stuff over at Forgotten Flicks. Maybe some Forgotten Holiday Flicks will be coming up, but we'll be tuning in. Thanks a lot, Joel.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Now, whether you're a podcaster or a blogger, whether you're a geek or just a regular Joe or Jane, you are more than welcome to join us as well here on the show. If you'd like to share your picks or just share your thoughts on pop culture in general, we want to hear from you.
You can email us at feedback@popspotting.net. You can leave a comment on our blog at popspotting.net, or you can leave a voicemail at 815-310-0808.
We do love the voicemails, but you can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/popspotting, where many listeners are posting great comments, questions, and links.
You can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/popspotting, at Hawaii or at Mrs. Hawaii, and you can even look for us over at Google+.
We'll be back tomorrow with another serving of Pop Spotting feedback, including our first video game review.
Thank you to Dan Pashman of The Sporkful for our theme song, and thank you for listening.
For Pop Spotting, I'm Ryan.
I'm Jen.
Aloha.
See ya.
Goodbye.